Thanksgiving. Psalm 100 is one of the Thanksgiving Psalms. This short psalm is perhaps the best known. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. However you feel today, whatever is going on in your life, you can joyfully praise and thank God because his loving kindness and faithfulness is everlasting to you. So let's lift our hearts and voices in joyful praise and thanksgiving. Bow with me in prayer. God, our great and loving Father, thank you that your loving kindness and faithfulness are everlasting. We know we should be thankful each and every day, and we usually are. But this one day each year, we gather to celebrate your goodness, your gifts, your provisions. We pause to praise you for being good and that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Forgive us for the times when we have not been thankful and for all our sins. Lead us in joyful praise to you in this time together. We pray in the name of the greatest gift for which we are most thankful, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our call to worship today is based on Psalm 113 and is in the bulletin for this service. If you have one, please read with me. Let us give thanks and praise the name of the Lord. God is wonderful, yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord our God has done marvelous things. We are blessed more than we could ever imagine. For all the amazing gifts we have been given, we praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Now please join in singing, Come, Ye Thankful People, Come.
Christ home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified, in thy presence to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home.
The scripture reading today is Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11. This psalm is one of the thanksgiving and praise psalms. One of the most familiar thanksgiving and praise psalms is Psalm 100, which sings, which calls, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations." One humorist said, "Thanksgiving is a wonderful day, a day when no one diets. Why else would they call it Thanksgiving?" The Thanksgiving and Praise Psalms call us to willing, joyful thanksgiving and praise today and always. It is not dependent on how we feel or our circumstances, because God's loving kindness and faithfulness are not only continually directed to us, but are everlasting. We will see that in today's psalm that tells us of God's care for our hurts and pains, our physical needs, and our spiritual needs. You may follow the reading in your Bible or in the bulletin for this service, if you have one. Psalm 147, beginning at verse 1. "Praise the Lord! For it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. The Lord supports the afflicted. He brings the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre. It is he who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes grass sprout on the mountains. It is he who gives an animal its food and feeds young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his faithfulness." We come now to our time of prayer. Bow with me in prayer. God, our great and gracious Father, we give you our thanks and ask you to accept it. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the gift of love. Thank you for the gift of family and friends. Thank you for the gift of our church family. Thank you for the measure of health we have. Thank you for the countless material blessings you shower on us. You tell us in your word, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." For many of us, this is fairly easy today, but for others, it is not. It can be a challenge to praise and thank you when we don't feel like it. Yet we know, in ways we don't fully understand, when we give thanks to you, you change our perspective and our feelings. So we praise and thank you now for who you are, what you have done, are doing, and will do. With thanksgiving, we bring our request to you. We thank you and pray for Mike, who serves as an elder, oversees our property and sound system. Bless him as he is away now, and as he carries on this work for you and us. We bring our missionaries before you. Thank you for Jacob and Kayla as they serve at Maple Springs with One Hope. Give him vision and wisdom as he works and plans ahead for the camp. We pray for Kayla that her pregnancy will continue to go well. We pray for all in our church family and those we know who have a variety of needs. Thank you for knowing all about them, and we ask and trust you to act according to your good, acceptable, and perfect will. We pray for our governments, this week especially for our federal government, the Prime Minister, MPs, and officials. Move in them so that they will see that which pleases you, is right and good, which truly works for the welfare of the people. Move in us to pray for them rather than complain about them. We also pray for the District of Peachland in their ongoing desire to acquire our property. We thank you for being with our elders in the meeting with the district officials last week. We ask you to guide us step by step. Our confidence is in you. Thank you for the missions and all efforts to encourage getting the gospel out. While it is just over 2 months away, we pray for this year's Urbana Conference at the end of December, where 17 to 28-year-olds will be challenged to follow Christ and to consider missions. We ask you to be with the planning so that the time will honor, glorify you, and impact many teens and young adults. We intercede for our brothers and sisters who are undergoing severe persecution. Today we pray for our brothers and sisters in Pakistan, including the pastor who was shot last Sunday morning while traveling to hold a service. May he recover fully and quickly. We ask that your people there would be strong in their faith and witness, and that you would grace them with protection. We pray all these things with thanksgiving in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before the message, please join in singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
sin and the peace that's enduring. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Today we are giving thanks to God. This should be, and hopefully is, a regular, day-by-day part of our relationship with God. It is also good to have a special time like this in which we can reflect and refocus, to express our praise and thanks to God. Sometimes it is not so. Both the quantity and quality of our thankfulness can be reduced from what it should be. In one episode of the Peanuts comic, Lucy asked Charlie Brown to help her with her homework. "I'll be eternally grateful," she promised. "Fair enough," Charlie said. "I've never had anyone be eternally grateful before." He looked at her homework and then said, "Just subtract 4 from 10 to get how many apples the farmer had left." "Lucy, that's it? I have to be eternally grateful for this?" "It was too easy," Charlie replied. "Whatever you think is fair." Lucy said, "How about if I just say, thanks, bro?" Charlie leaves, meets Linus, who asks, "Where have you been?" "Helping Lucy with her homework," Linus asked. "Did she appreciate it?" Charlie responded, "At greatly reduced prices." Let's give thanks to God today, and not at greatly reduced prices. We are looking at Psalm 147 as we give thanks to God. We see some of the things for which we are thankful on the Thanksgiving tree we put up in the fellowship room. There's still time to add to it. This psalm leads us to 3 familiar areas in which we all can give true, grateful thanksgiving to God. We will focus on the thankfulness presented in the psalm. And so, let's give thanks. This psalm teaches us to give thanks to God because He cares for our hurts and pains. We see a few examples of our hurts and pains in this psalm. All of us experience hurts and pains. Health, family, and other relationships, dreams and goals, work, school, financially. Let's look at some examples we find here. First, the hurts and pains of being an outcast. In verse 2, the psalm writer declares, "The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel." Think of being an outcast, or in some versions it reads, exile. There is no indication as to who wrote the psalm, as some other psalms have, so we cannot be sure if the writer was speaking in general terms or with a specific situation in mind. Some take this to refer to the people returning from exile after Cyrus's decree in 538 BC. Others see King David and his followers in the psalm after finally taking the throne promised to him almost 500 years earlier than Cyrus's decree. Some focus on a future, prophetic application. After all the study, thinking, and speculation, the point is that the statement is in the present tense, and so speaks of a characteristic of God's nature and action. God gathers the outcasts. This is the kind of God He is. This is what He does. So it speaks of our hurts and pains, of being an outcast, of being excluded. It is much more than not being able to be in your home, your local area, or country. There is a wide range of experiences where we are outcasts. When you don't seem to fit in anywhere or with anyone. Not being cared about or cared for. Being rejected. Being abandoned. The hurt of being an outcast. Then he speaks of the wounded and brokenhearted. Verse 3. He, God, heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The word brokenhearted here refers to intense, deep, emotional pain, to be overwhelmed by it. All of us can identify with this. We all know the reality of being hurt, wounded by others, circumstances, or events. Sometimes it is inflicted on us intentionally, and at other times not intentionally. Sometimes it is because of something we have said or done, at other times not. And yet, at other times, we don't know why, but we know the hurt. We feel brokenhearted, wounded. It is, if you will, a first cousin of being an outcast. For quite some time now, researchers have been able to trace a physical response in the brain to disappointments, being brokenhearted. It is the same part of the brain that responds to physical pain. It is one reason why a broken heart hurts so much. But, of course, we did not need this information to confirm the reality of being wounded, of being brokenhearted. The last example in this psalm is the afflicted. Verse 6. The Lord supports the afflicted. The King James Version renders it meek. Another version renders it as downtrodden, while several other versions state it as humble. The word's basic meaning is to be bowed down, to be afflicted, also then to be poor or humble. The setting or context often helps us determine the meaning. Here, however, it does not clarify it as much as we might want. King David used this word in Psalm 11, where he testified that God does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Our psalm is referring to the experience of being pressed or bowed down, oppressed, afflicted. We know the reality of this hurt and pain. The situation weighs us down. The unkind words or actions, or even attacks, leave us without strength. We are afflicted. Now let's move from our hurts and pains to God's care for them. For the outcasts, verse 2 again. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He gathers, collects, assembles them. God brings them back to security, to the familiar, to acceptance. Some He gathers back to places and positions from which they were excluded. Others He gathers to new places and positions of acceptance. For all, God gathers those who trust in Him to security and acceptance with Himself. God has done this. He is doing this. He will do this. We can look back over our own experiences of being excluded and thank God for His gathering us up, caring for us. Then think of God's care for the wounded and brokenhearted. Verse 3. For He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He binds up the wounds. He cares for the specific injuries, hurts we experience, and does it like nothing else, no one else can do. In addition, He brings overall healing for those hurts and pains inflicted in relationships and events of life. To some extent, time, work on our part, and help from others provides perspective, adjustment, and the opportunity for healing. But as children of God, we have the resource of God Himself to bind up our wounded spirits, to heal our broken hearts. This is done in and through our relationship with Him. This is done when we go to God, ask Him. When we ask, we find. We sing of that in the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." The first verse, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." As we look back, note and give thanks to God for His binding up and healing your wounds and broken heart. Next is God's care for the afflicted. Verse 6, "The Lord supports the afflicted. He brings down the wicked to the ground." The word "support" here means to do again, to encircle, to stand upright, and so to support. God encircles us, makes us stand upright when we have been pushed down. It is the same word we find in Psalm 146. God supports the fatherless and the widow. Look back and recognize when God has encircled you, lifted you back up, when He has supported you, and give Him thanks. Make no mistake, God cares about and for all of your hurts and pains. He tells us clearly through the Apostle Peter, "Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares about you." God knows everything about you and what you face. God has all power and can handle anything and everything that comes your way. An old hymn begins with a question. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press? As the cares distress? And the way grows weary and long? The chorus answers, "Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." Our part is not to hold on to the cares and to try to handle them on our own, but to humbly and confidently throw them to God. This is not just a good idea or suggestion, it is God's direction, His command to us. The short cares chorus speaks of taking our burdens and laying them at Jesus' feet. Listen to the words, "I cast all my cares upon You. I lay all of my burdens down at Your feet. And any time that I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon You." Yes, God, our loving and merciful Father, takes note of us, cares for us. His loving kindness to us never ceases. So today, and every day, let us give thanks to Him because He cares for us. He always is our refuge, stronghold, and healer. Remember that He is your good, great shepherd who leads you to quiet waters of peace, nourishment, and strength. Bookmark. Remember the times when He has provided for you in your hurts and pains. As we continue in the psalm, we see that we should give thanks to God because He supplies our physical needs. The psalm gives us a few examples of our physical needs. We can start with the world we live in. Verse 8. "It is He who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes grass sprout on the mountains. We see the rest of the seasons starting at verse 16. He showers snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls his ice as fragments. Who can stand before his cold? He sends his word and makes them melt. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. Our physical needs, material needs. It is so easy to forget that God provides all these things as we watch the seasons go by, enjoy the benefits of food, shelter, clothing. Yes, God in His merciful care supplies our physical needs. These brief examples are far from exhaustive, but they make the point. Through the process of controlling our environment, the weather, seasons, the clouds, rain, snow, ice, the plants that grow to provide food for us, for the animals. Remember what Jesus has told us, recorded in Matthew chapter 6. Look at the birds of the sky, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single day to his lifespan? And why are you worried about clothing? Notice how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin thread for cloth. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and it tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what are we to eat? Or, what are we to drink? Or, what are we to wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. God acts directly and sovereignly over our security and safety, over our progress and prosperity. Look at verse 13. He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your sons among you. He makes peace in your borders. He satisfies you with the finest of the wheat. God supplies our physical needs. He does not promise to make us wealthy, provide all we wish for, but he does. He will provide all that we need for as long as he keeps us here on earth. The familiar hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, sings, Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Yes, thank God, because He provides for your physical needs. The next and last reason we see in this psalm is that we should thank God because He meets our spiritual needs. God acts and speaks. Drop down to verse 19. He declares His words to Jacob, His statutes and His judgments to Israel. He has not dealt this way with any other nation, and as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord! God communicates to people in a number of ways. This is clear in both the Old and New Testaments. Nature gives testimony to God. It is also clear that while this can point us toward God, in itself, it does not complete our spiritual needs. Only God's people truly understand, are guided by, have spiritual needs met by God and His truth. The Apostle Paul made this point in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But a natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. We see the contrast for believers in 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work. God declares His words. The most frequently used word for declare in the Old Testament occurs over 360 times. It means simply to say, to state. The word used here is a different one, which is used sparingly in the Old Testament. It has the idea of making something conspicuous, easily visible, well seen or understood, obvious and clear. God makes Himself and His truth conspicuous, readily available to us to see and understand through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and so to meet our spiritual needs. Fellowship with Himself, with fellow believers, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, encouragement, and strength, step-by-step development and growth. And so we can reflect and see how God has met our spiritual needs through His Word and thank Him. Then God showers His people with loving kindness. Picking it up at verse 10, He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord favors those who fear Him, those who wait for His faithfulness. Here, I think, the older version of the New American Standard put it better. Those who wait for His loving kindness. This word has a range of meanings. The many ways in which it has been translated point out the lack of an English word to exactly relate the idea in this beautiful word. The general sense is of a totally undeserved and unconditional love in action. To love, generosity, to loving kindness. God says in Isaiah chapter 54, "The mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells us that God gives us our abilities, including the abilities to succeed and make wealth. We see here in our psalm that God takes no pleasure in people who are independent, self-sufficient in their own abilities and strength. As we have reverence for God and rely on Him, wait for Him, He showers us with His matchless, undeserved love. He meets our spiritual needs. We can think of times when we have not had the reverence for God as we should, have not relied on Him as we should, and some of the things we have missed because of that. But we can also think of the times when we have revered Him and relied on Him, and He has showered us with His loving kindness, times when He has met our needs. And so, let us give thanks. All of us, each one of us, experience hurts and pains, have physical and spiritual needs. God meets our needs. Often it is not in the way we think is best or at the time we think is best. But God's ways and timing are perfect. At times we may not be so sure of that, but it is absolutely 100% true. Think of our greatest need, your, my greatest need, to be saved from our sin. After Adam and Eve sinned, God promised a Savior. Many years later, God saved Noah and his family in the ark. The Savior had not come. Several hundred years later, God promised Abraham to make a great nation from him, the nation from which the Savior would come. About 500 years after that, God called Moses to save, to bring Israel out of slavery in Egypt. But the Savior had not come. About 1,500 years later, God the Son, the Savior, came into the world. Without doubt, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, and Moses would have loved to see the Savior come, but he did not come in their lifetimes. Galatians chapter 4 tells us, "When the fullness of the time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters." God's timing and provision are perfect. So yes, let us give thanks to God. Bow with me in prayer. God, our loving and merciful Father, we are humbled, amazed, and are so thankful that you take note of us, that you care for us, that your love and care for us never ceases. Thank you for always being our refuge, stronghold, and healer. Help us to always remember that you are our good, great shepherd, leading us to quiet waters of peace, nourishment, and strength. Help us to bookmark, to remember the times when you have provided for us in our hurts and pains. Thank you, Father, that your loving kindnesses to us never cease, and your compassions for us never fail. Amen. Let's close our service now by joining our voices, raising our voices in praise and thanksgiving as we sing, "To God Be the Glory."
Rejoice, O come to the Father through Jesus.
Thank you for joining in this time of worship. If you have comments or questions, you may call us at the church office or use the contact page on this website. Please join us again next week here online or in person at the church for our worship service on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Have a blessed week as you celebrate Thanksgiving and continue on each day with Thanksgiving.